My name is Ellen Rosenberger. For any visitors joining us and those listening online, we're so glad you are here today. First of all, I want to thank all of you for your part in our church family. Each of us has a unique responsibility and joy of giving our tithes and offerings to further the work of God's kingdom, as Rod mentioned. Along with the ways our church reaches out locally and globally, we also use our resources with God's wisdom and direction to pour into various ministries within our church, whether that's kids ministry, Sunday morning worship, keeping our building running so we can meet together and be a blessing to the community, etc. So I want to thank you for your faithful giving to the many ways that you spend is expanding the kingdom of God. This also includes a very vital ministry to youth. I'm so encouraged that this is an area of ministry that is valued here. It's a privilege and a joy to serve as the Minister of Youth, a role that I stepped into last June along with my husband, Luke, who's co-leading with me. And also I'm also very grateful for our other youth leaders, Amber Kyogama and Matt Kreeb. We cannot do this without them. It's been really awesome to see these kids growing in their faith and reaching out to their peers. We've really loved forming a fun and welcoming atmosphere in youth group, a place where kids can connect with each other, grow together in their faith, and learn to serve others. So thank you for your support of our youth, not only through your giving, but also your prayers. One very important aspect of our youth program is getting them away from the distractions of life for an extended time together. Last weekend, we got to take them to ice camp in Michigan, where you just saw the video about. This is a unique time because we usually only get about 1 or 2 hours a week with them, and at camp we're there with them the whole weekend. It's just a great way for us to connect with them on a deeper level, have a lot of fun together, and really further our relationships with them. To me, times like this really feels like a culmination of the investment we've made into these kids' lives. It makes what we do so worth it. To be able to participate in a weekend like this where we can worship with kids, plus about 300 other kids from other youth groups, and study the scriptures with them, have gospel-centered conversations, and have a lot of fun, even if after a ride down the toboggan hill, it did result in a swollen ankle for me. But it was worth it. So, what's also really key about these trips like this, is that kids have the opportunity to reach out to their peers. Some who don't have a relationship with Jesus yet, or who are on the fence about following him. So that's just such a unique opportunity. Praise God, we were able to take 16 kids to ice camp this year. And I know many of you were praying for each of them by name. And I cannot tell you what that means to me, and especially to them. I would like to share with you about the theme for ice camp this year. And then after that, a few of our youth will share some ways that they were personally impacted. So I pray that what I share will speak to you, as it was a very powerful topic for our youth to explore this past weekend. Let's see how I do. The pastor may not invite me back. So let me ask you a question. How do you tend to relate to God? A.W. Tozer said, "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us." Let that sink in for a moment. The most important thing about you is what you think about God. Who he is, what he's like, how he relates to you, how you relate to him. Do you tend to think of God as a tyrant or a dictator, just giving out commands? Or do you think of him as a watchmaker, one who set the universe in motion, gave us principles to follow on our own? Or do you see him as a divine butler, there to give us what we need and want? Or how about a supervisor, someone who grades us on what we've accomplished? Those questions represent four faulty ways we can slip into of how we view our relationship with God. They come from a book called, I have it right here, it's called With. It's by Sky Jathani. We have it in our library. This is the copy from the library, so can't get it yet. I'm going to finish reading it and get it back. This is my second read of it. I read it a few years ago, and it's an excellent book. So the topics from the weekend came based on this book, With, by Sky Jathani. There's also a corresponding video series on Right Now Media. The videos are only 10 minutes long. So if you haven't gotten on Right Now Media yet, or you forgot your password or something, I encourage you to get on there. It's really an excellent resource the church provides. You can go to eastbend.org and sign up for free. They're just such great biblical content on there. I kind of think of it as like a Christian Netflix. There's a lot of great things on there for all ages. So in the book With, the author explores four heart postures, which are like ways that we relate to God, that we can tend to relate to God. So four postures, and those are life under God, life over God, life from God, and life for God. And I'll go through those briefly. But the whole premise of the book is to realize that those ways of living in relationship to God are damaging and not what he intended. So while they may contain some elements of truth in them, God beckons us to live a life with him. And that really goes along well with the sermon series that Luke just took us through from John 15 about abiding in Christ. So abiding meaning remaining, dwelling, staying, essentially being with Jesus. So I think it's going to be on the screen, but if you turn with me to John 15, 4 to 5, I just want to read those verses again. This is Jesus speaking to his followers. He says, "Remain in me also, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." So I'm just going to give a very brief overview of each of those postures, but for a deeper study like that includes examples from Scripture, I would really encourage you to read the book or check out the videos on Right Now Media. So the first posture is life under God. This is where we view, and maybe we don't realize it or wouldn't say it this way, but we view God as like a tyrant or a dictator. We see our relationship with him as strictly a cause and effect type of transaction. So we disobey, he punishes. We obey, he blesses. And like I said, there are some truths to like, there are blessings in obedience. But if we make it completely about trying to appease a powerful God in charge who's given us instructions, that's where it gets off track. The second posture is life over God. So this way is sort of relating to God. It kind of abandons God altogether in favor of proven formulas and controllable outcomes. So he's seen as a watchmaker, someone who creates something and then lets it run on its own, who gives the principles for us to live by. So essentially, if we have the principles, then we have no need for the creator. God then becomes a tool to be manipulated. And then life from God sees God as like a divine butler. They are only to serve me. This is where we desire God's gifts and blessings, but we aren't particularly interested in God himself. We know our culture is driven by consumerism, and it does impact us. We can tend to view God for what he brings to the relationship, to the point where we care more about the stuff, the blessings, the answers to prayer, etc., instead of realizing that he is the ultimate gift and all that we need. So the core about that relationship is all about me and what I can get from him. And then the fourth one, life for God, is probably the most common and most dangerous posture toward God. This is one that I found myself most part of. We can tend to see maybe tendencies of all four of these places, but there might be one that you may identify with more. This is one that I have struggled with, being a missionary and then a pastor's wife, wanting and striving to do things for God. It sees God as a supervisor, watching and judging our accomplishments for him. So this posture believes that the most significant life is one spent accomplishing great things in God's service. Again, serving God is not a bad thing, but it can be when it becomes the ultimate thing, when it's more important than the relationship with God himself. So when we are trying to earn our God's favor by our actions, earn his love by our performance. So God is not a tyrant, a watchmaker, a divine butler, or supervisor. And if we're honest with ourselves, we may have related to him in more than one of these ways. There were two quotes from our speaker this weekend that really resonated with me. I want to share them with you. One is, God's word is not strictly a revelation of divine principles, but a revelation of who God is. And then the other quote, Christianity is not knowing the what, but knowing the who. That really struck me. I want to know Jesus. Don't you? It's not about the what, it's about the who. We have a Savior, not a system. That's my quote. I did not steal that one. We're called to a person of Jesus. So the truth is that the Word of God describes, so those are all ways that we can tend, faulty ways we can relate to God, but the truth in the Word of God, as we read, was that Jesus is a vine. So I just want you to take a minute. If you want to close your eyes, you can. Think about what comes to mind when you think of a vine. Picture a vine. What comes to mind when you think of a vine? When I think of a vine or any plant, I picture it being full of vibrancy, full of life, growing, moving, giving life, creating, beautiful. Jesus describes himself as the vine, but he doesn't stop there. He says, we are the branches. He wants to share his life with us. I picture that vine giving, always giving. He gave his life for us. Why? So that we can be with him and have life and life more abundantly with him. So I want to read the passage in John 15 again. And this time I'm going to read it slower. I'm going to read it slowly. You could read it in your Bible or on the screen, or you could even close your eyes. And I just want to ask you to visualize that. Think and dwell on each word of truth that is in this passage. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus doesn't say, remain in my principles or remain in good standing with me by your performance for me. It doesn't say, remain in the blessings I give you. It says, remain in me. Jesus also says, I am the vine. But are we living like we are the vine and he is the branch? I pray that each of us has a desire to fall more and more deeply in love with our Creator, the one who gave everything to be with us, to learn how to live life with him rather than under him or over him or from him or for him. The question the speaker left with the kids after every session was this: can you continue living your life exactly how you've been living it without God? And I want to tweak that question for you this morning to say, in your life, exactly as you are living it right now,
Are you experiencing the peace and joy of living with Jesus? I'm going to ask that again. In your life, exactly how you are living it right now, are you experiencing the peace and joy of living with Jesus? I pray if you are, that you'll experience it more and more. And I pray if you aren't, that you respond to that invitation to come to him. I pray you'll be blessed to hear the testimonies of these youth that are going to come share how God spoke to them through the teaching this weekend. I believe that anytime any of God's people, no matter their age, share how he is working, that the church is edified. So will you welcome them with me?
At experiences like Miracle Camp, there's always that fun part where you're like first getting there and you're kind of like exploring the space, kind of learning where everything is and what all the activities are going to be. And once we had our first travel session on our first night, you kind of get that full feeling of how the kids interact with each other and how God's in the room with you. You can always feel it like going through everybody. I think one of the best things from Miracle Camp was exploring that idea of how we have that connection with God and how we can change it to be the way it's supposed to be. There's always times where you picture God as part of yourself, and that's why you are your way you are. But then once you convict yourself and realize who God actually is and making yourself for him in his image, it truly can like renew your heart, make you a new branch, kind of give that life back to you. One of the most impactful things that happened at Ice Camp was one night when we had split after the session into high school and middle school groups, boys and girls, and we were able to just talk about the session. I know our high school group had a very long topic of conversation just about everything, and it was really, really like revitalizing, like giving that new life back and understanding kind of where we all stood. And it was really an incredible moment to be there and just kind of experience this, where there's crying and hugging and prayer. It was just an amazing time that we could have. It makes me remember back a couple years ago when I had a woman in our congregation here, and she was praying for me because in our time there wasn't a lot of us in youth, and it was a very small group. And I am so proud today to say that I have friends in youth and that we have a big group now. I remember staying back that night, and there was like another dodgeball tournament, but we were kind of staying later, and we were just kind of having that time to pray and be together, and it was really kind of remarkable in that life-changing moment.
My name's Kaylee, if you don't know me. One of the biggest takeaways I had was from the posture life for God. I've seen this in my life a lot, where I'm constantly living just to like please God by my actions. And the story that they shared was the prodigal son, and instead of looking at like the son that we normally talk about, the younger son, we looked at the older son, who stayed with his father and was still with him. And he was like offended that he didn't get a big party or anything for just not leaving and going and doing these sinful things. He's like, why didn't you bless me? And he's like, his father was like, it's about being with me, being in a relationship with me, not about the blessing. And that kind of hit me, where I'm like, I'm constantly doing this stuff just like so I can get to heaven, but it's not that, it's more than that. Because I know multiple times I've just tried to fix myself instead of letting God fix me, because like I look back and I'm like, I fill myself with all these horrible things, and I just try to do better, treating like the Bible as like a checklist, like have no other God before me, I got that. Don't make any idols, okay, I can do that. Don't steal, don't lie, I can try that. But I look back and I'm like, I've done all these things, I've made my own idols, I've stolen, I've lied, I've done all these horrible things. And that night that it was just us girls, we were talking about how putting these bad things in us kind of shapes us who we are and can affect us. And the Holy Spirit kind of just reminded me of this illustration of even though you put all these horrible things in you, like a pitcher, whatever you put in the pitcher, that's what comes out. You put these horrible things in you, that's what comes out. And the only time that was ever different was with Jesus involved. Water went in and wine came out, and that's because Jesus' hand was in the process. And so even though these horrible things are put into you, if you spend time with Jesus, if you spend time in his word, he can change you. And he can take what was broken and turn it into something beautiful. And that just really hit me this weekend, that I'm not lost and that he's with me and he loves me. And I just thank him for that.
Hi, my name's Hadley. I'm new to this church, so most of you probably don't know me. I went to ice camp, and the main theme was about Pluto and how we had to make it a new, like, we had to rename it as an actual planet and not a dwarf planet. So we had this little contraption where we were going to shoot away this meteor from killing Pluto, and we had to use these little space rocks. And it turned out that when we shot the laser, it ended up blowing up Pluto, so Pluto doesn't exist anymore, I guess. But yeah, moving on to our lesson. So each year we are given a word that is supposed to resonate in with us. Last year it was Hesed. This year it was Abide. We read the NIV version of the Bible, but in the ESV it says, abide in me, and that meant with God. And one question that really stuck out was, can you continue living your life exactly how you've been living it without God? And as someone who really struggled with her faith growing up, that really spoke to me, and how by bringing God into my life, it has definitely changed for the better, and I couldn't be more thankful for that. Another point that he made was our relationship cannot be perfect, but is still desired by him. And, yeah.
Hi, I'm Faith. The posture that stood out to me most was the under posture, saying that if we disobey, then we'll get punished, and if we obey, then he'll bless us. I feel like that's how I always looked at us. Obeying means he'll be nice to us and bless us, but that's really not how it is. We just expected this from him. We might even ask ourselves, how do we get into heaven, trying to take control of him and his grace for us? But that's really not how it is. He used the way to say tasks and servitude means God's favor. But that's really not it. Obedience is the unbroken relationship because he desires to be with us. And I feel like that's like what I mostly got out of it, because I never really understood that. And now I do kind of from that.
I actually was not planning on speaking, but I feel like God laid something on my heart. So Ron and I used to work with the youth years ago. And over the years, I have not felt just kind of like Ron and I did our time. I'm done with doing that. And it was shortly after Luke and Ellen said yes to the calling of doing the youth. I was doing worship one Sunday up here, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I just felt the Holy Spirit speak to me, and he said, you need to help with the youth. I was like, that's kind of weird, because it like came out of nowhere. And I thought, okay, God, I'm just going to pray on this. I'm not going to rush into it. I'm just going to pray on it. So we got done singing, and I went to the back, and Ellen was like, can I talk to you? And I was like, yeah, sure. And she's like, you know, I really have been praying, and God really brought you to my mind to help with the youth you know, don't tell me. I don't want to know an answer now. Just pray about it. I knew in my heart already my answer was going to be yes, because God already, the Holy Spirit already spoke it to me. But I just didn't say anything to her. I just said, okay, I'll like pray about that. I'll think about that. I think I took like a week or so, and I just continued to pray about it. And I'm like, God, are you sure about this? Because I don't really know that I'm equipped. I don't know if I'm ready for this. And in that moment, I was like, I knew that God was calling me to work with the youth. And I'm so glad I did. Because this youth group is a group of some amazing kids. So, and last weekend was just really, really good with the kids. Just the breakout sessions were really good as well. And just seeing them worship, just so freely. And not only our kids, but just all the youth, all the groups that were there. It was just phenomenal to see. So I guess what I'm saying is, if you really feel like God's calling you to do something, step out and do it. Because if you don't, you're going to miss the blessings. And if I would have said no, I would have missed out on the blessing of this youth group. So.
Well, what a blessing we got today to hear from these guys. And I'm not going to preach, don't worry, because we've used our time. But I just wanted to share in that excitement of what God is doing. And, you know, this idea that we don't just have to do things for God, or, you know, all these different postures, but this idea that God invites us to be with Him. And He's done that from the beginning. He did that in the Garden of Eden, created Adam and Eve, and He was with them, and in just a very full, meaningful way before there was sin. And then because of sin, that was different, because of sin separates us from God. And so what was really neat then is God still is always wanting to be with people. He's still wanting to be with His creatures, or His creation. And so God created a way that He would send His Son to be with us. And we find out in Isaiah that there was this prophecy that God was sending His Son, the Emmanuel. God was sending Jesus to be with us. And not just to be with us, but He was to be with us, but then more than that, He would die for us. And He took that sin that we have, and that separates us with God. And what He did is he bore the sin on the cross. And because of Him, we can have life in Him. For those that put their life and trust in Jesus Christ alone, like we've been singing this morning, then we will have life with Jesus. And it's not something that maybe is something we want to do all the time, but He invites us to be with Him. And it's something that we'll see that blessing when we are with Jesus. And so He rescues us, and He wants to be with us. And then at the very end of the Bible, in Revelation, it says this. Revelation 21, verse 3. And John says, I heard a loud voice coming from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and He will dwell with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. God is always wanting to be with His people. He invites us to be with Him, and because of Jesus, we can be with Him. And for those that have life in Jesus, that life will continue forever. And that's what we get to see, that God is going to be with us forever. And so I just really excited for how things have been going, and even for ice camp last weekend, and just really thankful for each of the youth that have been involved and sharing. And thank you, ladies, for doing that. David, for bringing the video. And so I just really excited about that. And I just want to then invite us to worship the Lord in the next song.